You are listening to the Mindset Forge podcast. I'm Barton Bryan, your host. Thanks for listening to another episode. This one is going to be a throwback. One of my favorite interviews from back in 2021 is with Bethany Shadburn. She grew up in Austin, Texas, now lives in Las Vegas, and is an elite CrossFit athlete. In fact, in January, she got second at the Wodapalooza in Florida. This interview is not just great if you're a CrossFit fan, but being an athlete, wanting to understand what do elite people think about, she breaks it down step by step from her mindset around daily journaling, diet, water, sleep, all the things that help her be at her best because she is training 6 to 7 hours a day. Before the episode starts, if you're new to the podcast, check out some of our foundation episodes. If you scroll through the different list of episodes, some of my episodes say foundations. That just lets you know that these are episodes that dig into the basic concepts of the Mindset Forge. These might be good ones to start with to get a foundation of the ideas and concepts around the Mindset Forge. Check those out if you haven't yet. So buckle up and enjoy this interview with Bethany Shadburn. Bethany, thanks for being here today. How are you doing?
Good. Thank you for having me on here.
For those who may not understand fully what CrossFit is, let's start there. Let's talk about CrossFit. Give us kind of just a general idea of like, what is CrossFit? Because it's not Spartan races and it's not boot camps. It's a very specific thing. So give us kind of a broad understanding of what it is.
Yeah. I think it's specific, but also very general. I think the term CrossFit hasn't been around for a very long time, but the movements inside of CrossFit have been around for a very long time. So it's hard to explain. Like if people come up to me in the airport and they're like, oh, what do you do? Bodybuilding. I'm like, no, I do CrossFit. And they're like, well, what is that? And I'm like, well, it's movements that have been around for a very long time. There's weightlifting, there's barbell movements, there's running, there's swimming, there's gymnastics movements, there's bodyweight movements. So I think it's just a combo of everything. And finally, someone just put a name to it. But yeah, I just think it's a very, like, I did CrossFit, I would say, before CrossFit was a thing. The only thing I didn't do was touch a barbell. But all the other like gymnastics movements and bodyweight movements, the running, the swimming, all the other parts of CrossFit I definitely did before. So I feel like everyone kind of does it in a sense, but I think it's just putting it all together and then putting a name to it.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense. All right. So talk about kinda.
Hopefully that makes sense.
I think it does. I mean, it's, but I do think people think of the word CrossFit and that it has a kind of a mystique to it. And I think people don't quite understand, but that makes sense.
I think there's different levels to it as well.
Sure.
Like the level that I'm at is where you're really getting a combination of everything. And I think the general public, when they do CrossFit, it's just going into the gym. They're not doing the swimming, the extra swimming, the extra monostructural work. So like the extra cardio work, like the skierg, the bikerg. They'll get a little bit of the assault bike inside of the gym, but they're only working out an hour. And as, I guess, a professional CrossFit athlete, we're working out like 6 to 7 hours a day. So there's different parts to it. There's the monostructural work, the cardio part, the swimming, then you're going into the gym. You have like the weightlifting, the strength portion. You have a skill portion, and that could be like gymnastics, muscle ups, handstand push ups, things like that. Then you're doing the actual WOD, and then you have accessory work too. So you're getting like the bodybuilding side of it too. Mm-hmm. So there's just different portions to it, and it just depends on, I guess, what level of CrossFit that you're at.
Because I think, you know, if the local CrossFit gym, you know, you would see people probably rowing, jumping over boxes, doing lots of burpees and doing some Olympic lifting or practicing that type of thing. As you get into this, the highest level, you're talking about a lot more endurance type things, so swimming, all these accessory things that kind of go along with it. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I just 6 to 7 hours a day. Now,
there's a lot of chatting with that too, though. We're going slow, but we're in the gym.
Right. And that's, I mean, that's why you're professional. Like this is your job. Like your job is to be a professional athlete.
Yeah. I can take my time.
Right. Yeah. You're in Las Vegas, Nevada, but you're from Austin, Texas.
I am.
So talk a little bit about Austin and what you loved about it growing up.
I grew up in South Austin. Loved it. it was very family based, family oriented, and I have three other siblings, so we did everything under the moon. My mom put us, all four of us, in a bunch of sports because we were very hyper children and just crazy. So she's like, "All right, we're all doing swim team and we're all doing soccer." So we started there, did a bunch of that stuff. I was still bouncing off the walls. So I was actually born with both of my hips dislocated because I was born breached. And so when I was in the hospital, I guess a lady came up to my mom and was like, "You should put your daughter in gymnastics because she's going to be really flexible." I'm not flexible anymore, but I guess back then I was. So at age 5, my mom was like, "Okay, the swim thing, the soccer thing is just not working. We got to put you in something else. We're going to do gymnastics." And after a year of doing that, she's like, "Okay, you need to decide. Do you want to do soccer and swimming, or do you want to do gymnastics?" And I was like, "I want to do soccer." And she's like, "Okay, cool. We're doing gymnastics." And I was like, "Okay, all right, cool." So here we
Nice.
are. So I did gymnastics competitively from the age of 7 to about 12 or 13.
What I love about the Olympics is that, you're seeing incredible athletes, but you're also seeing incredible performers. And I think nothing highlights that more than probably gymnastics or maybe like Olympic diving. Talk about being a gymnast and just the performance aspect and what you loved about that, what you learned about that time.
That's why I love CrossFit. I really wanted to find something that really resembled gymnastics because I really loved being on the floor and just being by myself on the floor. I think with my family, we're just very competitive. My dad was super athletic and so was my mom. And so, kind of reversing a little bit, anytime we would go on road trips, it was like, "Okay, we're getting out of the car. Everybody's running around the convenience store. We're doing push-ups, we're doing squats, we're doing burpees." At home, it was put your feet underneath the couch. We got 1,000 sit-ups to do tonight before we go to bed. So it was just kind of embedded in me to be competitive. And I really enjoyed like co the conditioning part of it. I enjoyed doing the events in gymnastics, but I really enjoyed doing the conditioning part. And I don't think a lot of gymnasts like that at all. They're just like, "Oh, we're just gonna kind of do the reps, but not really." But I was like, "No, we're doing all the reps." We ran for 45 minutes in the morning. It was separated, two sessions. We had a morning session from 7:30 to 9:30, and it was all conditioning, and that was my favorite part. We would go to charter school above the gym from like 10 to 3, and then gymnastics in the afternoon. And I just really enjoyed just all the hard parts about gymnastics that probably most gymnasts are like, "Oh, I hated that part. I just wanted to do the events all the time." And I don't know, I enjoy just suffering. And I think that's where the love of CrossFit came from, I guess. Actually, the love of sports and just putting myself through terrible things. But I don't know if it was from my dad or gymnastics or a combination of both, but.
I think people that love going to the gym and doing hard workouts, you can be there to be good at sports or to be better at what you're trying to do. But if you love that, that says something about you. There's something like maybe it's a screw loose. That could be. I don't know. Like
Kind of
it's
have
really
to have
like
one
5% of the
a little
population. I always say like leg day, big proportion of the population just
bit.
skips leg day altogether. Those who love leg day or love that type of hard work, the squats, the deadlifts, the like that's just a
Suffering.
slightly different mindset than most everybody else on the planet. Talk about performance as a gymnast. I mean, very early age. What do you remember about being with the lights the brightest and you're there by yourself on the floor and kind of what you got from that?
I think it's just an exhilarating feeling, right? You're having to perform a routine that you've been working on for months or years on end, and you get this one moment on the floor to show what you got. And it can either go really well, and then sometimes it doesn't. But I think it's just the feeling of the butterflies, but it's a good kind of butterfly, and it's just exciting. That's why I enjoy performing in person because I feel like I can get into another gear in person. I train hard, I work as hard as I can in the gym, and that's how I was in gymnastics too. But when you get on the floor, for me personally, I think everyone's kind of different. I just get into these different gears and I just enjoyed it a lot more than doing those performances inside the gym. That's why I don't like online qualifiers that much or like the open. I'll do it and I'll survive, but there's just something special that even if I'm like super nervous or I don't feel like I'm necessarily prepared for, when I get on the floor, it's just like, I don't know, just something different. Another gear kicks in. You kind of just go into autopilot. And that just kind of shows that you've either done the work or you didn't. And for me personally, when I'm in the gym, I'm like, you kind of doubt yourself. You're like, am I doing enough? Am I pushing hard enough? I don't know. I don't know if I'm good enough. Then when you get on the floor, you're like, okay, I did what I was supposed to do in the gym. That's what I got from gymnastics, and that's what I get from CrossFit too.
Well, and that is the exact premise of the Mindset Forge podcast. There are people that understand how to show up to the big moments, like when the lights are brightest. Again, back to the Olympics. Everybody's incredibly in shape. Everybody's the best at their sport. But what makes those few people just rise just slightly above even their own ability level? Like you're talking about, like that other gear. That's something you can tap into that I don't think other people necessarily can.
It possibly might be just a train thing, but it also might be a like that's kind of how you were gifted with. And I think that's what makes like the top athletes top athletes. And I'm not saying that I'm the best of the best in my sport. That's what makes you a better athlete on the floor is not choking when when it counts. It's something that's within you that just happens and it just clicks and then you're on the floor and you're doing it.
So, 12 years old, you've had 7 years of devotion to the sport of gymnastics, and then you hurt your back. Talk about what the doctors were telling you, what your mindset was in that moment, and kind of how you transitioned into getting into other sports.
As gymnasts, it's you push through the pain no matter what. And so, like with my back, it was nothing different than all the other injuries that I had before. I've broken my wrist multiple times. I've had ankle issues, whatever. But with the back, it was just very different because it's very debilitating. At least with like an arm, it's like, okay, I can just do my leg stuff. Or with like a lower body injury, okay, I can just do like upper body gymnastics stuff or bars or whatever. With the back, it was like, okay, I can't move at all. It's debilitating. I'm 12 years old. This has been my life. I go to the first doctor, and at first it's like, okay, whatever, normal back issues. We'll just get you back into the gym in about 6 weeks or whatever. And I was like, great, awesome, cool. And every week it just didn't get better. Didn't get better. Went in, I would have like little glimpses of it, like, oh, okay, I feel a little bit better. And then the next day I would just kind of go back to the way it was. Just to the point where the doctor was like, okay, I can't do anything else for you. I'm gonna send you on to the next doctor. And that happened about 8 times. I went to 8 different doctors in a year, and no one could figure out what was wrong with me. I did MRIs, MRIs with dye. Some people were just like, well, it'll get fixed when you go through puberty. I just had everyone say everything to me, and no one was just like, okay, this is the issue. This is what's wrong. We can fix it. And then you can go back to gymnastics. So it was very devastating at 12 or 13 to go from your whole life being gymnastics. You went from 7 o'clock in the morning till 7 o'clock at night every single day to none of that. And I still had a lot of hope. Like I was like, okay, I'm gonna get better. I'm gonna get better. But it just didn't. What I've realized now that I didn't know back then is I think everyone holds stress differently. So a lot of people, they hold stress in their neck. And so like when they're really stressed out, their neck's gonna crink up or their knee or whatever. Mine happened to be my back. So I think there was an injury and there still is an injury. It chalked up to being just like bulging discs in my back, which is a very common thing. If you look at 100 people's backs, 99 people are gonna have bulging discs. So there had to be something more, right? And I've realized over the years that it was just a place of stress, and I was holding all my stress in my back, and I wasn't releasing it, and I wasn't getting rid of it, and I wasn't dealing with the stress. And it was outside sources of stress. So at that time, my parents were going through a divorce at around that time. And so I think I was trying to cope and deal with it by just doing gymnastics, and that didn't work very well, obviously, because I couldn't heal up.
Putting the pieces together, you're realizing, especially now, that like you really have to, differently than somebody else, avoid those external stressors that are going to, you know, during your training, potentially just throw you for a loop. Have you had recently your back go out for a specific reason?
Now that I've really worked on like the mental side of it and the mindset, I'm like, obviously I'm not perfect, but now for me, because I did a lot of junk volume between gymnastics and CrossFit in those years when I could get back into doing things, now it's over, not, I don't want to say overtraining, but I can tell when my back is like, all right, we're done. And so for me personally, I have to take a deload week after 3 weeks. So if I try to go into that fourth week and go hard, that's where my back is like, yeah, we're done. So I had a little bit of an incident this year where I was feeling so good. And you know, when you're around other amazing athletes, you just want to keep going. And I was like, I feel good. I feel great. I haven't had a back issue in like over a year. And I just overdid it. And it wasn't bad, but I could tell if I was going to go a little bit more that I was going to be out for a really long time. So I ended up having to take off like 2 or 3 weeks, but it was still enough time to get ready for the semifinals, West Coast Classic, and do okay. Mm-hmm. But I was worried there for a second because I didn't touch a barbell for about 2.5 weeks, 3 weeks. And I was like, oh gosh. Yeah. It just, I'm learning and you continue to learn. And that's the great thing about, you know, sports and athletics is you continue to learn about your body. And I realized if I want to have a successful year this year, that's what I'm going to have to do personally for myself is every 3 weeks, take a deload week. Doesn't have to be completely off, but I need to give my back a little bit of a rest and then I can get back into it.
For those of you who don't know what a deload week is, really just a week where, like she's talking about, you're just taking the weights down, not as intense.
Volume down. Usually
volume down, those types of things. For me, it's like 6 to 8 weeks. I have to pull back. And I think everyone's different. And I think that's so important to understand is that everybody, you can't just push. And I think that patience is such a part of understanding like how to go to that next level. Let me ask you this. How do you look at your next 6 months and plan it out with your coach? What are the little markers you're trying to get to understanding what you can and can't do and what's possible?
Yeah. I think last year it was a little different. So I had a couple of months by myself where I was training myself after the CrossFit Games. And then I moved up to Las Vegas in January. And that's where we kind of like sat down and had a game plan for the full year. And for me, I had to start kind of back at ground zero in CrossFit, sadly, because my coach didn't like the way I lifted. So I would look at everybody else and they were lifting max weights and I was lifting the barbell for about a month or so, or like under 95 pounds. And that was like very kind of scary, honestly. I was like, oh no, am I going to be ready? Like, this is a scary thing. But for me, I just had some things I needed to work on. Need to backtrack a little bit. I needed to work personally on a lot of strength. That actually seems to be a huge weakness of mine when it comes to competitions and CrossFit. So strength was the main source of what we were working on, and it's still going to be this year too. But yeah, I think it was just like, okay, we're going to work on just technique of the barbell for the first couple of months and adding some strength and some tempo work. And then as the year progresses, and this, I think it's a very common thing too, is when you're kind of like the off season of CrossFit, you do work on more of the developmental fundamental things, working on strength and just kind of building on that. And then as the CrossFit season continues, it's just more about maintaining that strength of whatever you've built. And then you go into more of like getting that endurance up and working more on the skills of things and the gymnastic skills and really revving that up. And then as it gets closer to the CrossFit Games, it's just all about like, okay, don't get hurt. Maintain, don't get hurt. And we were able to be very successful with that, even though I didn't get to compete at the CrossFit Games. I had never felt so good. And I told myself before the CrossFit Games, I was like, this is a very successful year for me. And what we talked about at the beginning of the year is just having a healthy year. Because I have not had that with CrossFit the last 5 years competing. So even though I didn't get to compete, it was actually probably the best year I've ever had.
So moving to Las Vegas with a new coach, right? You were going out there to train with a new coach. That coach took you back to like foundational movements. Let's get the barbell. Let's put no weight on it. And you had to trust that. You had to go through that with your coach. Talk about deciding to go to Las Vegas to train with this coach and then your relationship with the coach since then.
Yeah. The athlete that he worked with, Carey Pierce, before me, but pretty much by himself. So like he has other athletes too, but his most like games athlete is Carey Pierce. And they both lived in New York. And because of COVID, everything was just shutting down. And he had another athlete in Las Vegas. So he was like, hey, you should move to Las Vegas. And so they asked Carey to come down there. And she was like, sure, let's get out of New York. It's way too expensive here anyways. So they all moved there. And me, Danielle, and Carey have the same manager.
Okay.
So a couple of years ago, I was wanting to move, but I wanted it to make sense. So I told my manager a couple of years ago, I was like, hey, if you know of anything, doors opening, let me know. And we had talked about a couple of things, but I was just like, I don't know. I'm not sure about that. And then eventually he was like, hey, well, Carey, and I've known her from the CrossFit Games, is moving to Las Vegas. Are you interested in that? And I was like, ooh, Las Vegas. I've never been, but all you think of is the strip, you know, and partying. And I was like, I don't think that's a good training environment. But anyways, long story short, I ended up going down there a couple of months before I actually moved out there, because I was like, I have to see what this place is about, and really enjoyed it, really liked it. So ended up being like, okay, I'm doing it. I'm making the move, because I felt like I loved Austin. I love Austin, still do. It's where all my family is, but I didn't have anybody to train with. And I just kind of felt like I was hitting my ceiling there. And that was kind of like the next step in my career, is to be around, I don't know. I think iron sharpens iron. And I feel like being around other amazing athletes that do exactly the same thing as me and have the same goal, is very important. And, you know, looking back now, 9 months later, I was like, yeah, that was a great decision, because I just wouldn't have pushed. You just don't push yourself as hard by yourself. You can push yourself hard, and that's great to have that mental strength to do that by yourself. But there's just something to be said and something magical that happens when you're with other athletes. So that was pretty cool, just to see the progress that's been made in the last 9 months in my career. I've had a couple of other coaches, and they were great. I learned a lot from them, but there was a lot of, I would say, like, unbroken promises, which is like a huge pet peeve of mine, where they're really good at first and then they just kind of like fall off. And I think with Justin, I was kind of worried about the same thing, because he was going from just Carey, kind of one athlete, to there ended up being six of us. So it was like three females, three males. And so I was like, oh boy, this is going to be, I don't know. I was like, I'm going to do what he says and put 100% effort into it, but I just don't know if he's going to be able to keep this up. And sure enough, he is a man of his word. He is really good. I like the consistency that he has and brings to the table, and he's able to cater to all of us, even when we're all in the gym at the same time. We all have like our own separate pieces that we'll do, and then we'll do like pieces together. He does a really good job of being able to go to everybody and give them what they need specifically, remember things, and then move on to the next person and just go around to everybody. So I really enjoy that about his coaching, and just like in awe that he's able to juggle it all, and be consistent with it too. Super special, I think, as a coach to be able to do that.
Yeah, you're going to have high expectations, and for him to exceed those expectations with just yeah. delivering at such a high level, you know, for not just you, but for all of them.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about at the gym with Danielle and Carey. Talk about the team aspect of it. And then, of course, it's an individual sport. Like, you're going out there to compete against the best of the best. So talk about that kind of duality of the team aspect and also the individual aspect of your sport.
Yeah, I think it's funny, because people say, they're like, how can you like train with them if you're competing against them? And I was like, but that's what we did in gymnastics. You know, and Carey was a gymnast, and so is Danielle. So it almost was like match made in heaven that we all did gymnastics. It's an individual sport, but you're working out as a team. And that's kind of how it is here in the CrossFit, I guess, field or area, especially with us, with the underdogs. And so, yeah, I think that just having that team aspect, one pushes you more, but you can also help each other out too. Like something that Carrie's really good at, she's not afraid and she doesn't have the ego to be like, well, I'm just going to keep that to myself and I'm not going to share that information with other people. She does a really good job of sharing information. If she happens to be really good at some specific skill or a whole workout, how did you do that? How did you get better at that? How are you so fast? And she's able to share that information and then vice versa with all of us. So I think that's a huge thing of like trusting your team to be able to give that information out and not just hide it to themselves because you want to compete against people at their best. You don't want to get compete against people at their worst or if you're like hiding information from them. So, or you want to beat them at their best too. So I think that's kind of like the mindset that we have at the gym is we want everybody to be at their peak, at their best. That way we know that we beat them when they're trying 100%, giving 100% effort, able to do each movement 100%. I think that that's the special thing about what we have at Underdogs is that we're all trusting each other and we're able to give each other 100% and help each other out.
I think that's special. I think it's a
Yeah.
maturity level.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people that are just like, they're so competitive, they just can't handle
Yeah.
like not trying to undercut somebody else, right? Like, I've got
Yeah.
to find my edge. I got to find my little like secret formula that nobody else knows.
Never tell anybody.
Like, that just seems, yeah.
Come
But I mean, it seems kind of silly, but I think that's oftentimes competition and ego. They go hand in hand, and that just creates bad decisions instead of what you guys are doing, which is sharing and really
Yeah.
lifting the whole team up.
Yeah. Ego is the enemy, Ryan Holiday.
Good book.
Yep, good book. Good book. But yeah, I think to give a little shout out to Carrie, I think she's the one that's been with Justin the longest. She's the oldest too. And I think that she sets the tone for the family as a whole. But I feel like when the leader or the oldest person is like, "No, I have an ego," all that stuff, then that sets a tone for the entire group as well, and we're all going to react off of that. It's kind of like a domino effect, right?
Sure.
So I think Carrie has done such a great job of one, just allowing us to work with her coach too. That's a hard thing too. You go from I'm with my coach by myself for a couple of years, and now I have to share him with five other people where, I have two other girls that I'm competing with. So like that's a hard thing too. So for her to be so open about that and yeah, just not have an ego about it, I think that's just what set the tone for the whole family.
A special mindset around just like
Yeah.
abundance versus kind of like, I'm going to guard it all
Yeah.
for myself. So let's go to this year, the West Coast semifinals. Your preparation around that and how it went for you, and just kind of what insights you have around that performance.
Yeah, I mean, it was obviously a great performance, but I think it was kind of reiterating kind of what I said leading up to it. Honestly, for me going into that, I was like, I don't know how I'm going to do. I'll probably get like 10th place or something. I'm not going to make it to the CrossFit Games because with that one, you had to be top five to go to the CrossFit Games. That was like the qualifier. And for me, I was like, I don't know if I'm going to make it because you just start doubting yourself. And I was like, okay, we'll just see what happens. And then with my back too, with it going out on me, and I was kind of out for like 2 weeks, still had enough time to like rev up for the competition. But I think really working on the mindset stuff outside of the gym and just trying to be at peace with everything, trying to keep everything head on, straight on, and not allowing my mind to wander into the negativity so much. I think that's what's kind of pulled me through the West Coast Classic. Obviously, having amazing training partners and be able to push myself a lot harder this year than I ever have in training, I think helped a ton. Having a great coach too. I think it takes a village, right? But a missing piece too for me was not working on that mindset part. And for me, like journaling is super huge for me, the devotion, being in the word. It just helps me feel a lot more stable. And I think without that, when I go through something like a little bit of an injury or a negative or a storm, it can just set you up for either success or kind of like a failure, right? And I allowed that to actually, I guess, fuel me for the West Coast Classic. But yeah, it was kind of scary.
Don't you work with a mindful performance coach?
I did off and
Okay.
on, I have, and that's kind of what kind of started my journey too. I was doing a lot of journaling before and reading. Actually, huge shout out to my boyfriend, but he's really big into reading. He's really big into just knowledge, and he sent me on this path of a couple of different books, and I haven't looked back since. I mean, there's times and periods where I'm not reading as much. Like if I'm getting ready for a competition, my mind is kind of wandering too much. But I feel like overall, I've read more books in the last 2 years than I probably have in my entire life. So that's been a huge part.
Obviously, the knowledge base that you're getting from those books, but is there also kind of a quietness to that? Like, just reading and like kind of settling your body down?
I never wanted to be alone when I was younger. I hated being alone. I hated the quietness. There's still things that I don't like quiet. Like when I sleep, I like the white noise. But I hated like being by myself. I didn't want to be by myself. And I think it's almost like a trust issue. You know, like do you trust yourself being by yourself? But as the mindset stuff has come into play, as I've journaled more and started reading more, I crave it. I crave being alone. I enjoy like the recharge zone, being by myself, the quietness, enjoying my mornings. I'm super thankful for that. With my lifestyle and my career that I have, God has allowed me this time to just have more of a growth season, this long growth season that I don't think a lot of people get, where they can spend time in the morning for 2 or 3 hours and just sit and journal and read and do all the mindset stuff. And it's just, yeah, I'm just super thankful that I'm able to do that stuff because, yeah, I don't feel like a lot of people with their lifestyle and having a 9 to 5 job are able to do that.
I always think athletes have the hardest time, especially kind of really driven people, just stopping or understanding you can't just push all the time. You can't just push your way to becoming the best in the world. Like you have to understand the balance and the stillness and the recovery and the rest and all those things. And I sometimes injury can actually force that upon you, right? Sometimes, like if you get injured a month before the West Coast Classic, you have to stop and you can't work out and you can't push. Did you feel that like this year with finding that rhythm and balance?
Yeah, for sure. 100%. Because I'm very injury prone. And I think that's just from not stopping. I think my entire life, I've just always just wanted to push. And that's what they tell you in sports too. Like someone's always working harder than you. You got to push 100% of the time. And so that's just like it was embedded in me. Like I have to be pushing 100% of the time. And it's funny, as you become like a higher elite athlete, and I think you can still do this as a general public too, but you have to realize that there's times that you have to stop or slow down, and you have to find to be okay with that and not let that destroy you, if that makes sense, and have this negativity storm and cloud that covers you because you don't feel like you're doing enough. And yeah, I think I've just really figured that out the last couple of years. And the first couple of years in CrossFit, I did not figure that out. I thought I had to do over and beyond what my coach was programming. I just thought that I had to push 100% of the time. You don't need to rest. We don't need this rest thing. You don't need to be quiet. You don't need the recovery. Just forget it. Just keep going. Push harder. And yeah, that gets you far, but it's not going to help you be the best that you want to be, the best version of yourself that you could be, and be able to recover from, say, an injury or something else that happens in your life. So I think it helps, like in the gym and outside of the gym.
And I wouldn't say you started CrossFit late, but you came on the scene when you were 22, 23, and you're looking around at the competition, going, I got to catch up, right? Is that probably it? There's a desperation to like, I gotta go. There's so much to do. I gotta learn all these things, right?
I remember the first year, the first year, 2017, that I went to the CrossFit Games. I was a hot mess. Let's just be honest. I was partying like every weekend leading up to the CrossFit Games. That was whatever. But I get there, and the things that I'm really good at, girls are 10 times better than the ad. And I was like, ooh, no, this is not good. Not good whatsoever.
Reality check.
Yeah, it was a huge reality check. And I was like, did it to myself.
Sometimes it's the best thing for you is to know how bad you are or how far off you truly are from where you want to be. I want to talk about your mindset around kind of daily habits and rituals, because I feel personally like people think that's a little bit unnecessary. It would be good if I had the time, but yeah. I don't. So I'm just going to focus on what's important at the level you're at, your morning ritual and some of the habits of kind of each and every day.
In 2019, I got 8th at the games. And I just remember coming off the floor after that weekend and just like not being happy or proud of myself. And it's not about being overly just like, yeah, I'm the best. I'll always be the best, whatever. But like, I wasn't even like, I don't even deserve this. That's how negative my mindset was. And then I didn't feel like I had anybody to share it with too. I always have my family. My family's great, but I pushed a lot of people away during that time. So I think that was kind of like the revelation for me, where I was like, wow, okay, so like a placement's not going to make me happy. I could get first and probably feel the same way. Money's not going to make me happy. Not that I made a ton of money, but I made more money than I did in the years past. So what is it going to be? What's going to make me happy? And I think just realizing that it's your character and how you set yourself up for the rest of your life, because CrossFit and competing or whatever you're doing, it's not going to be the rest of your life, but it's how you react and respond to things is really what's going to carry you in life. And I think I realized at that point, I was like, wow, okay, what do I need to do to truly find joy? Because the stuff is satisfying for a second. It's worldly stuff. You'll find satisfaction and joy and happiness in it for a millisecond, a day, a week, a month, maybe. But what is truly going to find like that joy, that happiness that I can carry on for the rest of my life and have satisfaction in whatever I do, no matter if I win the CrossFit Games or get last at the CrossFit Games or not even get to compete at the CrossFit Games, you know? So I was like, what is going to keep me at that neutral position? And I think for me, I always had a faith. But I went away from it for a very long time and went down a pretty bad path. And I think just coming back to that and doing the journaling and just having the quiet time and reading, I've just found so much satisfaction and joy in that, that whatever happens outside of it, whether good or bad, I'm going to stay neutral and have peace about it. And so I think that's why I was able to have, like, it was still sad and it was still devastating to not be able to compete at the CrossFit Games this year and get all the way there, work your butt off. You get to the CrossFit Games, you're literally right outside the stadium, and then you can't compete because you have COVID. And I think for me, I was just like, I'm okay. I don't know why I'm okay, but I'm okay. I've been preparing for this for 8 months, for 2 years, for the longest that I've been working on this mindset stuff and doing the stuff outside the gym. I have been preparing for this storm, and I had so much peace surrounding it. And it was just like a crazy, weird feeling. And the only thing I can say, it's from God and just like having a relationship with Him and building that foundation with myself and with Him, and just like the mental fortitude of that too. And yeah, so it's just crazy the difference that can make doing that stuff every single day. And I think this is what we talked about, is you can't just do it for a week or a month and expect things to change. Or when something great or horrible happens, you just stop doing it. You have to continue to do this stuff. It's work every single day. Even if it's 15 minutes, whatever you have, you need to be consistent with that.
What it sounds like is this is not really a sports performance technique. This is actually a life skill. Like, you've created a home base in mm-hmm. your daily life where no matter what goes on, no matter if you win or lose or drop a bar or like anything happens, you're right with yourself and with God.
Yeah. I think for me too, I found a lot of satisfaction in like people pleasing and accomplishments. And I don't know. I just wanted all this stuff for myself. And that's great. If that stuff happens because of the way that I'm doing things, awesome. But that's not what I'm focusing my attention on. So, yeah, that's why I feel like now, I guess going into this next year, another win for me is being able to just be consistent with this stuff and just be obedient with it and just take it day by day. And I think that's going to be a huge win, whether I make it to the CrossFit Games, because there's no guarantee that you make it to the CrossFit Games every year. Do really well at the CrossFit Games, not do really well. I'm trying to set myself up for like a lifestyle and success outside of CrossFit, outside of competing. And I find a lot of joy and passion, and I think God's given me a lot of gifts and abilities to be able to compete at a high level. And so I'm trying to take advantage of that as much as possible right now. But this is just a stepping stone for me. And I want to set myself up for success outside of the gym, outside of CrossFit. And I think for me, I found a lot of identity of just working out and being an athlete for the longest time. But it's very fading and it'll make you happy maybe for a little bit. But what's truly going to set me up for success and having that peace and that joy is doing this stuff right now that I can continue to do when I get done competing.
I feel like there's more to that. We'll talk about that a little bit. That's good. I mean, that's you thinking beyond the sport, thinking beyond being an athlete and family, entrepreneurship. Like, where's your mind going with that?
I've always been that person that doesn't want to just put all the eggs in one basket. I want to have multiple things going on. And so right now I'm working on a clothing line with one of my sponsors that's supposed to come out in January. So that's always been a great vision of mine. If anybody's looked at my Instagram, I love the activation and the warm-ups and doing that kind of stuff. So I definitely want to do something with that. Yeah, maybe something with my journaling, maybe speaking. I don't know. I don't know what God has for me, but I think just being diligent in the everyday, you'll get more answers to that, if that makes sense.
Being open
The
to whatever
feeling.
the universe kind of brings to you, and knowing that you don't have to know what that is, but you're not going to push it away because no, I'm a CrossFit athlete. That's all I do. Like, you're like, bring it.
No, there's so much more to
And honestly, one injury and your CrossFit career could be over. And so, you
Done.
know, and then what do you got? You've got all these other things that you're interested in, and you know, that's so first you bring up Instagram. So a few people are following you on Instagram. You have about 500,000 people currently following you. So for you as a athlete, what are certain things that you're always doing or prioritizing in your life to make sure you're staying at the highest level?
I think sleep is a huge thing.
Ah, yes.
We definitely, no one gets enough sleep, especially nowadays.
Okay, so I gotta
And I had a
ask,
real,
what do I mean, six, seven, eight, nine, what where are you at with your sleep? Like, what do you feel
10.
like? What? 10 hours
10.
of sleep.
Yeah.
Boom. Okay.
At least, I think like 8 to 12 is a
Okay.
good range to hit.
Wow.
I would like to sleep. I like sleeping, so I don't fall asleep very well, which is why I have to sleep a little bit longer
Okay.
sometimes. But yeah, I would say like a range of 8 to 12, 10 is a great number to hit for me personally. So that's what the goal is every night, is to hit 10. And that's where I feel the best. I feel like I can recover a lot more if I can sleep. And I
Yeah.
think that's a huge missing piece that people forget about, don't think about, don't think it's important. They're like, oh, I can sleep. I can do 5 hours and be fine. It's like, sure, you can, but you're going to be running on fuses, you know? Like, you're not going to be
Right.
getting any better, that's for sure.
I remember growing up, somebody told me you only grow in your sleep. And I was like, well, I'm going to sleep a lot. And I was
I'm
like,
living
'cause
all day
I wanted to be
then.
tall. But I think we forget that. Like, you know, you work out, you go to the gym, you know. I don't think most people are doing 6-hour workouts, but even just like a 90-minute workout at the gym, you feel great, you fuel, and then if you don't sleep well,
Not going
what's
to
really
recover.
happening with that? And so it's okay. So sleep, you're going 10 hours. The rest of the world, I always tell people more than seven, just seven plus. That's been my
No, that's
number.
good. That's good.
What else are just like absolute essentials for you?
Water. Water's a huge one. I don't think that people drink enough water, too. I think, so I will show you my water bottle.
Here it is. Da, 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 dun.
1 gallon,
One
guys. Yeti. But
Nice.
yeah, I think that's a huge part that people miss out on, and they end up feeling a lot better too when they just drink enough water.
Yeah.
So
brain function,
I've
weight
heard that
loss.
Many times before. They're like, wow, I just have so much more energy. I don't know what it is. I'm like, it's because you're drinking enough water. And it's not, you don't go from like, if you're only drinking a bottle of water, you don't go from that to a gallon. You got to gradually build up into it. But yeah, I think water is a huge one. I think next is food.
Yeah.
I think that you can't work off a bad diet, right? And you're not going to recover very well too if you're eating a bunch of crappy things. And I felt that this past month. I took off this month from, I mean, I didn't eat horribly, but if you eat and drink alcohol, that stuff is just going to annihilate your body. It's going to hurt you so much more than what you think. And some people think they're invincible, or they've been doing it for so long that they don't think that it would make a huge difference. But promise you, take alcohol out of your diet and you start eating healthy and you start eating enough, because I think a lot of people undereat as well. I think you're going to feel a lot better. And I think a lot of people do all these fad diets and maybe they see results right away. But I think you just need to eat protein, fat, and carbs with each meal. I think that's so important, because like there's like the carnivore diets. Cool. You're going to eat meat. Where's your fiber at? You know, like just stuff like that, where a lot of people are like, yeah, but I lost 40 pounds. I'm like, okay, well, let's see what your body looks like in 3 years from now, you know? And so I think it's just going back to the basics, where people don't want to do that stuff because it's boring. But if you can be consistent with that
food,
stuff,
water, and
yeah,
sleep.
There's nothing at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. And eating
well,
enough.
And then you make that point.
But, yeah, I think
you make the point, like, what about 3 years from now? Like, we're so focused on like what I'll look like a week or two from now, or what I can post on Instagram. Like, we're so not thinking about how is this ravishing my body or my gut health? You mentioned that like you did, mm-hmm. you were a bodybuilder for a short period of time. Mm-hmm. In one of the podcasts, you mentioned that you actually did, you create a lot of stomach sensitivity because you really narrowed. Talk about what effects you had on that and how that's kind of affected you from there.
So a lot of that food stuff started before bodybuilding. And because I had such an unhealthy mindset about what my body looked like, I went into bodybuilding because I was like, oh, I can look skinny. I can look fit all the time. And then come to find out, when you do bodybuilding, you only look like that for about 30 seconds on stage. And then it all gets ruined in a second anyways. But yeah, it all kind of started with my back injury and wanting to control something when I couldn't work out anymore. Because you go from like 36 hours a week in gymnastics to, I went to nothing. Because the doctors were like, you can't work out. You can't do any of this stuff. So I was like, okay, can't work out. Not going to eat. That's how we're going to do it. And I just went down a really unhealthy path of wanting to control things. I think that had somewhat to do with my parents' divorce and wanting to control that, but couldn't. So I was like, okay, I'm going to control my own body. Just having really bad body image issues. And I think that happens in a lot of women, honestly. I feel like a lot of people do. And then I looked at a lot of gymnasts that quit gymnastics and were not growing any taller. So it would only go one way. And I just saw a lot of my friends just blow up like balloons. And I was just like, ooh, I don't want that. I don't want that at all. But it was like a very unhealthy way of thinking about it. Right. And so I just sent myself down a rabbit hole. I just dug myself the worst hole I think I could possibly, of just being unhealthy with either not eating or just doing like stupid diets where I'm only eating fruit. That's it. Or I'm only eating broccoli. That's it. Or I'm going to take all these laxatives and fat burners and all the stupid stuff. And yeah, I created a huge hole for myself and I ruined my stomach lining because of it. I never went to the doctor, but I definitely had like IBS. Like it was horrible, horrible. That kind of just led me into bodybuilding. So I was like, oh, I can still like control my body and look really good. And the coaches that I did work with at the beginning were not good. And they sent me down a path of more fat burners and just eating just not enough food. And it was awful, honestly. So I kind of did it to myself. And then I think for CrossFit, when I finally found CrossFit, I realized that you have to eat for fuel. You can't just eat for body aesthetics. And so I had to climb out of a huge hole. It was so awful. I hate admitting this, but I admit it all the time, that I couldn't even squat without having to like poop my pants. Like my stomach was that messed up. It was horrible for so many years. I couldn't engage my core without like having a thought like, oh my gosh, I'm going to poop my pants, or it actually happening. That's how bad my stomach was. So up until like 2 years ago, I had such a horrible hole that I was climbing out of. Now I can say I'm out of it. Thank goodness. Yeah. But yeah, I definitely sent myself down a path for about a decade of just a horrible mindset, horrible eating habits, horrible body image issues. And yeah, just trying to figure out how to climb out of that was awful.
Well, first of all, thank you for sharing that. That's, I mean, yeah. I probably, it's more people.
Part of my story.
Yeah. And more people than not, especially who are very driven to look a certain way, you know, or achieve it at such mm-hmm. a high level, go through phases like this or have this type yeah. of mindset where they're, it's very destructive, even though it feels very like you're in control. And everyone says, oh,
I yeah, I'm
look,
in control.
What are you doing? I want to look like you. Like, yeah, yeah. And that is a problematic mindset. Industry, the world of bodybuilding, because of all the validation from just how low body fat can you get and how many striations can you have. Yeah. Talk about that eating for fuel and just the overall perspective of like when you're thinking about eating during the day, macros, all that kind of stuff. How do you think about it? Are you following kind of a plan, or are you just kind of like going, okay, I'm getting my sweet potato, I'm getting my lean meats, I'm getting my fats. Like, how do you kind of think about it to be at your healthiest but not obsessed?
When I started CrossFit, I was like, I am never doing macro counting ever again, because I just had such a bad taste in my mouth from bodybuilding. And I was just like, this is too much work. So at the beginning of CrossFit, I was like, I'm just going to work out and just see what happens. And then slowly but surely, as the years have progressed, I just wanted to get better and better every year. And I was like, okay, I need to start adding little things in, like fundamental things. And I knew that from the beginning, because for me, I'm an extreme person and very extreme athlete. And so I did all these things leading up to CrossFit, but they never stuck, because I think I just went into it 1000% and then burnt myself out of it. So I knew that I wanted to do CrossFit a really long time, but I knew if I wanted to do that, that I was going to have to slowly but surely change things. So I just started with working out and learning how to weightlift and touch a barbell and all of that stuff. And, you know, obviously going to the CrossFit Games the first time, realizing that there are girls 10 times better than me, I was like, okay, I got to start like buckling down a little bit more. Maybe I shouldn't be going out to eat as much or drinking as much alcohol, stuff like that. So just kind of slowly started changing those things. And then this past year, I started working with RP Strength. They helped me with just meal placement and what I should be eating per meal. And I've been on and off of it this year. Like, I'll go through periods where, you know, I'm training so much and just burning so much that I'm just like, okay, I got to get in so many carbs and just eat so I can feel good. And then there's periods and times, like right now is a great time during the off season where I'm not training as much. So I can be a little bit more strict of like hitting a little bit more of like macro content, if that makes sense. And then kind of as the year goes on, I'll be a little bit looser with that just because the volume is up so much. Obviously, you want to eat more carbs like post-workout. I never did in the past like an intra-workout like carb protein drink. And I feel like that's made a huge difference because, you know, we're in the gym for so long. And so you want to keep the fuel. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I feel really good. I felt so good this year. And I felt like my body was able to kind of like push a little bit more in the gym and recover too, because I was getting in fuel during my workout as well. Once I feel like I'm doing that, then it's time to like, okay, time to relax a little bit. Yeah. But I think there's a happy medium of, after a while, you kind of know what you need to eat. And if you're overeating or undereating, so for me, like the more in tuned you are with your body, the more you're like, okay, this is about the amount that I need to eat. But then, you know, every once in a while, I'll just kind of like check in. Okay, I'm getting in my 6 ounces. I have like a meal prep company too. So like, I'll just tell them, hey, I want 6 ounces of protein, half a cup of carbs, and then like 2 to 4 ounces of, you know, vegetables. So that helps a lot.
Yeah, that helps.
So I don't have to think.
And I love that you're talking about layering habits on like one, like not trying to do everything at once. But like when you started CrossFit, you're like, I don't want to do macros, but just adding things in and you realize that, you know, what else can I do to get just a little bit better? Give some advice to an athlete. They've got some good momentum, but they want to level up. Like, what's the advice you would give to them just on kind of thinking of longevity, thinking of like the bigger picture that would help?
I think it's important to layer on things and just be consistent with that. You don't want to try to change everything at once because you're going to get burnt out no matter what. It's taking baby steps and realizing that not everything's going to change at once. And you don't want that. You want things that for longevity that you can keep up as a lifestyle. And so like that's really important for me nowadays. I didn't think like that 5 years ago, 10 years ago. I was just like, I want that now. I want to look good. I want to be able to do X, Y, and Z. But I guess as the maturity level has gone up some, just realizing that you want to have longevity in this, whatever you're doing, especially as an athlete. So it's baby steps. It's changing things little by little. And I think for me, like you got to make a step that you know that it's kind of easy. You know, you don't want to make something that's a challenge that's too hard. So whether that be, well, if I'm drinking, you know, 5 times a week, maybe I should just go down to 3, you know, not going from 5 to 0, just little stuff like that where you're like, oh, that's easy. I can do that. And then once you get to 3, you're like, okay, I've done this for a while. Feels good. Feel great. Maybe I should go down to 2 or 1. And then it's just like baby steps like that. I just want to make it super easy on yourself. So I think that's the most important thing, but it's also about just being consistent with things. And I think a lot of people, they want to be consistent for 6 weeks or 6 months. And then they're like, I'm good. I don't see any changes or whatever. But sometimes it takes a long time and you don't realize it until you're super consistent with something that you're like, oh, okay, wow. Now I see the changes that I've wanted to make. So, but yeah, I think it's about making it easy, not hard. And we want to make things very hard on ourselves.
Well, that's the kind of fallacy of the New Year's resolution. I've been failing for so long. Let me put all of these new practices in today.
Or like punish yourself too. I think a lot of people want to punish themselves for things like, oh, I had, you know, X, Y, and Z this past weekend. So now I got to punish myself with workouts. And I think that's probably the worst thing that you can do is put your body self-image with working out with punishment. You don't want to do that.
What's your projected next show?
We're actually trying to figure that out right now. Okay. There's one in January that I'm looking at. Mm-hmm. It's called Wadapalooza.
Yeah.
The only downfall of that, it's like right at the beginning of the season. So like if something, you know, were to happen or it's a lot of volume on my body because it's 3 days. It takes time to recover from that. I think that's probably like my best bet. If not, it'll just be the beginning of the season in February, March timeframe. Yeah.
Thanks so much for your time. I really appreciate it. I know how full your life is. And so really thanks for sharing.
Love her common sense takeaways. Love everything that she's talking about. And if you're training as much as she is, you have to think about all those things to make sure that the body adapts and recovers and is ready to be able to take on that kind of strain. So do me a favor. Make sure you subscribe to the show. And if you go to my website, which you can find in the show notes, you can sign up for my newsletter, which I'm going to do a monthly newsletter to kind of give you information, some specials, things that you can get more information about. So be on the lookout for that. Just go to the show notes, click on the website link, and you'll get access to that newsletter by just putting in your name and email. All right. Thanks for listening to the Mindset Forge podcast.